Session 69, July 8, 1964. Reading from the Early Sessions, Book 2 of the Seth Material. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I see that we are alone this evening. I enjoyed our last session immensely. That what you prefer to call an apparition did indeed exist. Rob, would you rather call it something else? Seth, for the time being, the word will serve, since I know what you mean by it. Of course, it was a valid construction. There is much to be said here. I told you I would use Mark for a demonstration concerning the nature of matter, and so I did. The apparition, therefore, was constructed by Mark. You did not see it. Rupert did not see it. Because an individual only sees his own constructions, and in this case the idea data was only given to Mark. Rob, did our cat see it? Thinking this point over after Monday's session, I did not recall Willie making any fuss, except for the one time detailed on page 211 during the session. Seth, he did not. For reasons that we will mention later, the cat did sense the apparition. Now, I have told you that there are many factors involved in the construction of matter, and I have explained that telepathy and many other factors which I have listed are important. In the case of the apparition, many of these factors were lacking. I purposefully short-circuited them very nicely for my own reasons. Now, even though individuals only see their own constructions as a rule, with the other factors in operation, you will appear to see others' constructions because there will be such a similarity in the various constructions of what appears to be one physical object. In this case, such clues were not given you. Therefore, the construction was only seen by the one person to whom the inner clues were given. The construction was then formed, more or less in faithful replica, to the inner data received by Mark. Rob, how about that enormous cranium Bill drew on the sketches? Seth, that is what I'm leading to. Outer constructions are always translations of actions from inner reality into matter. Their validity is dependent upon the individual's ability to receive inner data, to translate inner data, to manipulate energy, and to construct it onto the material field. Mark, among other things, was given and received the impression of an intelligence superior to any you usually experience within your field. In his construction of the apparition, therefore, he translated this conception into the large frontal lobes and cranium. If the data had been received by all of you, you would all have appeared to see more or less the same apparition. You would, of course, have each instead constructed your own apparition in your own space perspective, and because of the other clues usually given, the three apparitions would have seemed to be one, agreeing, for all intents and purposes, to be similar in terms of appearance and approximate location. Rob, you said that Jane and I were very fussy about what we saw. Seth, this is true. Such a seeming intrusion as an apparition into the physical field represents something that must be dealt with to you, and when the unfamiliar takes physical shape, it becomes much more alarming to most people than even a strange idea, which, after all, does not seem so real in a physical way. You will get used to it, don't worry. Rob, do you mean we will see the apparition? Seth, you will obviously not see that one. You will see others. I have also spoken of constructions which do not appear in the usual manner on the physical field, though they exist and are valid. There are many reasons why such constructions do not retain or sometimes even gain even the appearance of physical durability, and the apparition of the other evening falls in this category. I have also said that all constructions are composed of atoms and molecules, but their action may be at such different speeds that you are not aware of them on the physical plane. I am leading up to a rather important point that will take a good deal of explaining. I suggest your first break, and since I tarried with you longer than usual at our last session. Our meeting this evening will not be of the usual duration. Rob Nose Break, 9:26. Jane was dissociated as usual. She resumed in the same husky voice at 9:30. Seth. The construction of the apparition was formed, therefore, by atoms and molecules. The idea behind it came from me and was received by Mark. And then Mark constructed the apparition, which did, in fact, physically exist. It was composed of actual matter. As you should know, like all other atoms and molecules, its atoms and molecules had capsule comprehension, generalized consciousness. They formed themselves at Mark's instigation into a gestalt of physical construction. But the gestalt could not operate consistently or endure for any amount of physical time in your field because of the absence here of the greater data, which is the property of the whole self, in its construction of a completed human form. This will take some reading over. Certain conditions, which we will discuss at length later, are necessary for a completely valid or effective materialization into human form. The discussion on matter will still involve us in many more sessions. Such an apparition, however, is composed of legitimate matter and involves value fulfillment on the part of the atoms and molecules that compose it. Rob, are apparitions very common? Seth, the question confuses me. They are more common than people suppose. That's what I meant. Seth, the more complete they are, the less they are realized as apparitions. Other reasons are found to rationalize away their existence. I am pleased about the house, as you know, and you will both benefit in unknown ways. I am, as I mentioned, and as Rupert surmised, going to keep you but briefly. I am enthusiastic still over the accomplishment of our previous session. Rob, have you ever materialized to such an extent before? Seth, not on your plane. Rob, what about those fragments you said Jane and I created at York Beach, Maine, last August? Were they apparitions? Rob notes, see the ninth session, December 18, 1963, page 43 in volume 1. Seth, I have told you they were fragments, and if you will reread the material in the light of the newer material on matter, then the whole incident will become more plain to you. I also will tie these discussions in with their strong connections with expectation, as the involvement here is extremely practical in everyday terms, and though it may seem at first to be Pollyanna, it certainly is not, and in many cases, much training is necessary before proper attitudes can be achieved. In all cases, without exception, fear leads to defective constructions, and the cycle is vicious. Rob Nose, Jane, and I think the above to be a very significant bit of information. Seth, I meant to mention earlier that regardless of your conscious feelings, the town of Sayre was not a good place for you to live, and proximity to so close with your parents is never advisable, as you now know. Their constructions are extremely faulty and distorted, and telepathically they are bad. It is true that telepathy has nothing to do with distance in space as you know it. Nevertheless, telepathy represents but one sphere of influence. There is much more I will say here in other sessions on personal matters. In any case, you are learning to erect your own protection. You have both become much more effective along that line. Rupert has passed the crisis point as far as his own sphere at the gallery is concerned, for which I am thankful, certainly. It goes without saying that he will not stay at the gallery for any lengthy time in any case, and this is as it should be. You are covered in many ways that you were not covered in the past, and this is to your advantage. Another construction at all on your field, or on another, has consciousness to some degree. Consciousness, however, may not always show the same characteristics that you are used to. In any case, it will not be perceived by you. This will be important in a later discussion. And pertaining to our imaginary situation concerning the three glasses, you must realize then that each of these three glasses, being valid physical constructions, are composed of atoms and molecules that contain their own capsule comprehension and generalized consciousness. This is going to be difficult. I can see you shaking your head, and I have been putting off the inevitable. However, instead of your glasses, please consider a very simple situation, the two of you in this room. Now, Rupert constructs his own physical image, which is, I hope, obviously conscious. You construct your physical image of Rupert. Now the question is, what about your construction of Rupert, which is valid as a mental construction? Is it conscious? Rob, yes. I gave this answer on the spur of the moment. Seth, and to what degree? If five people were in this room, then they would each construct, in their own personal perspective, their own image of Rupert, which would be composed of definite material atoms and molecules. You would have five actual physical constructions plus Rupert's own. Do all five constructions plus Rupert's own contain Rupert's consciousness? Do they contain different consciousnesses, or are they conscious at all? I am now bringing you to the point of primary and secondary constructions. And with this, you may take your break. Rob notes break at 10. Jane was dissociated as usual. She could feel Seth leading up to this point through the last session. She also still felt it would be a short session. My writing hand felt no fatigue. During this break, Jane and I checked one point we had thought of since the last session, and this was the amount of light available in the room during the time Bill McDonald and I had noted the change in Jane's features as she stood in the bathroom doorway. I now had Jane take the same spot again. See the floor pan on page 223. I soon discovered that even the pole lamp I always have on furnished enough light to see Jane's features clearly, even though this light is on the other side of the bath door. Due to reflection from the white walls of the light, there was plenty of light. With the light on the room divider on, or the closet light on, the illumination was enhanced. Jane said that after careful thought, she felt the closet light was also on during the break at 9:56. I had neglected to check this point at the time of the session. Resuming now at 10:06 in the same manner, Seth. Now, this is the point to which I was leading. And though I know I shall disappoint you, I have decided to close the session. For one thing, we ran over last time, and for another, I have already covered what I wanted to this evening. For a third, I do not want to overburden you with typing. If you wish, but only if you wish, you may ask a few questions of me, and otherwise I will say good evening. Rob, all right, just one question. What if Jane and I go to York Beach in Maine again and meet those fragments we created? What will happen, if anything? Seth, many things could happen. You have nothing to fear, certainly, and the peculiar circumstances will not reoccur. I should hope that the apparitions would not occur. And if they did, they would represent your fear of what they once stood for and would not be the threats that they were originally, but after images, so to speak. Rupert was supremely right in his intuitions at that time. However, as far as almost forcing you to take a vacation and far away, you were definitely at a low ebb that had its beginnings before you met Rupert. Being at close ends in many respects after the early financial success, which was the result of work and expectation. Rob notes, I asked the above question because the apparition material of the last session had brought the York Beach episode to mind. Seth, I will let you take your time in forming more questions, if you prefer. Nevertheless, I will add that the low point is now past, and even expectation rises again as it must. You could have begun serious painting in New York, and if you had done so, you would have also continued and done well in commercial work. Rob, if by any chance Jane and I meet those fragments at York Beach again, will we be able to speak to them? Seth, oh yes. Rob, and they would possess their own consciousness, intelligence, and so forth? Seth, if they were that thoroughly constructed, they would. They would be free from your control and allowed their own value fulfillment. You might find such a conversation intriguing. However, I do not believe you will see them. Rob, I'm just curious. Jane and I have talked about the possibility at times. Seth, I would by all means suggest some kind of vacation and or weekend excursions of some sort, as they will be most beneficial, particularly for Rupert. Again, I am no banker, but you have nothing to worry about financially in your purchase of the house. And Rupert's suggestion earlier this evening was a translation, and an excellent one, of some generalized advice which I gave him. Rob, this in reference to the different system of budgeting that Jane suggested we try. Seth, I rather enjoy questions and answer periods. I see a date of August 13 in connection with your house and final legalities. Rob, signed, sealed, and delivered, eh? Seth, I believe so. Are you going to keep tabs on Bill McDonnell on his trip? As far as Jane and I knew, Bill was now on his way to Cape Cod. Seth, I may. Rob, can you help the three of us when we try to send telepathic messages back and forth? Rob notes, see page 219, 68th session. Seth, yes, although I want you to develop your own abilities. Rupert has been trying too hard lately with psychological time and trying to make his subconscious function and focus in the same manner that the conscious mind does. I would suggest a simple method for a while of simply lying down, relaxing, and letting his thoughts stray where they will. This will allow inner data to come through more easily. Rob, you said earlier that when Willy and the bug created each other, they saw solidity in infrared. Would this apply to their constructions of Jane and I also? Seth, that is not what I said exactly. The question is too complicated to be answered in this manner, and I will cover it in a regular session. Rob, see the 64th session, page 172. Jane was smiling in a most amused fashion. Again, now she walked over to our couch and squatted down upon one arm of it, as she had done in the last session. I wondered if again Seth was keeping her from her cigarettes, which lay on the table before me. Seth, surely you have saved more questions up for me than this. Rob, I was just taking it easy on Jane for a change. Already, due to my questions, the session had run well past the period where I was sure Seth would have ordinarily ended it. Seth, I, of course, would suggest the House of Seth as a fitting name for your new residence. This might lead to embarrassing questions, so you may do what you wish. Rob, well, we'll get every friend we've got all together there in the living room. Have a session, and you can explain it all to them at once. Seth, perfectly fine with me. I don't have to live with them. You do. Rob, I like the trees out there on the property. Seth, the trees are most beneficial. The water applied with cotton will aid Rupert's eyes and help his eyesight. Rob, do you mean water from the faucet? Seth, the well water. Why is that? Because the particular nature of the water, which contains some particular mineral properties because of the rock formation. How often does Jane have to use it? Twice a day would be excellent. If you know Rupert, twice a week will be all I can expect. And there will be a gradual improvement in Jane's eyesight. Gradual cumulative improvement. For reasons that may seem highly inadequate to you, the temperature of the water is an element here, and it is very cool. Can Jane's eyes be closed when she uses this water, or should they be open? Bathing the lids would be sufficient. Can it be overdone? Note that Seth did not answer this question directly, and I was so busy thinking up questions, writing them down, then taking down the answers, that I did not realize the question went unanswered. It might be added here that although questions and answer passages are entertaining, they are difficult for me to conduct. I do not miss any of the material, yet am forced to go at top speed in order to get it all. I usually note a few words, giving the meaning of the question itself, then concentrate on taking down the answer verbatim. Short answers from Seth interrupt the rhythmic flow of the material as far as recording it goes. I have also found that generally much less material is gathered, and it is less detailed. Usually, though, I can see that some passages are most amusing to Jane Seth. Seth, in fact, cotton soaked in this water and applied upon the eyelids before psychological time experiments would be the most beneficial. Bathing in the water, as you will, of course, will help you both. At some times, the temperature of the water will be as low as 58 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's an important element. Seth, what? Rob, the temperature of the water intrinsically? Seth, the temperature will vary. Nevertheless, the temperature is generally cool, and for Rupert's particular eye element, the coolness is important. Although in other ailments, heat might be desired. Panic causes heat. Rupert's eye condition is a result of conditioned early panic, and the cool temperature plus the mineral components of this water on your land will help him. Rob, Jane has no depth perception, although her glasses help this condition. She cannot drive an automobile, for instance. She has been told that although it is in good condition, for some reason she does not use one eye. As it happens, the eye she uses to see with is much the poorer of the two. Jane was still squatting on the arm of the couch. She stared at me, her eyes very dark and her hands on her knees. Seth, such tongue-tied Joseph? I've been busy writing. I'm wondering about closing the session. Seth, I will, in careful deference to your wishes, therefore, end the session. Rob, it's been most enjoyable. Seth, Rupert's eyeglasses will shortly need changing, since he insists upon using them. The use of them, however, would not be necessary if he would utilize the healing abilities that he possesses. Rob, can he consciously use those healing abilities? Seth, the question is poorly put. He can use them with the aid of the unconscious. And he certainly is learning to use his unconscious. The difficulty is in the construction of his images on a visual field rather than his perception of them. He should be able now to construct such images more faithfully, but habit and conditioning holds back, though the ability to construct images on a visual level has already improved. As long as he uses glasses, the ability will not be utilized, and the glasses will shortly need to be changed. I will now close. Rob, good night, Seth. It's been very good. And at 10:40, Jane was dissociated as usual. My writing hand felt no fatigue.